You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
It's 1 o'clock. We are in America's Web Radio, and this is Let's Talk Venezuelan. With us is Brett. How are you, my friend?
Muy bueno.
Hello, and the legend, David Moxley. How are you, my friend?
Bien, gracias. ¿Y tú?
Oh, improving in your Spanish is better than my English, my friend.
No.
Well,
I don't even know what I said.
Hi,
well,
everybody.
with us is the beauty, and I am the beast. Okay, hello, Josie.
Hello, everybody.
Okay, you have some gossiping today.
Oh yeah, I want to open the news today with two things that are going on in Venezuela, specifically in Maracaibo. David, Maracaibo is the city where the whole oil, petroleum, is the city who managed that, you know, that industry.
It's like Texas, you know.
It's like Texas. Yes, yes, exactly. It's like Texas. So, I was talking to my friend on Twitter, and then he said, Josita, you won't believe what's happening here with this. You know, he said the bad word, right? He said, what happened? He said, well, the mayor, Maracaibo mayor, who is the capital of the state, Zulia is the state, now he's coming with something like this. Look, you know, since the Maracaibo doesn't have too many cars running on the street because there is no oil, there is no gas, there is no parts, including those old cars from the 60s and 50s, they're not even running. I say, what do you mean they're not running? No, the streets in Maracaibo are like a ghost city.
Like a ghost town.
And I say, okay, so how do you guys get your stuff done? Well, we have to use the bicycles. So lately, last year, a lot of people from that area were buying bicycles. Those bicycles were brought in to Venezuela from Russia, from, you know, those countries who are friends with Maduro. So they made the business with bicycles. I said, okay, so now the mayor of the city, he's coming with some requirements for us, some requirement about how we're going to be doing, how we're going to be riding our bicycles. We say, okay, now we need to get permission from the mayor, from the city, to ride our bicycles in the street. I say, okay. And that requires identification, a tag. I say, okay. But it's not only that. It's the monies that it takes for you to do all these requirements, okay, the money. And then they have to inspect, like the same thing they do here with the car. They you know, you take your car and you do the inspection.
They have to do it
with the bicycles. And I say, okay. But the problem that I'm having, Josie, is that my brakes are not working in my bicycle. And then the little money that I have, if I take it over there for them to give me the permission, they're going to require me to fix the brakes before they give me the registration. And I said, okay, that makes sense, because that's the way that we do it here with the cars, right? You before get the... Okay, but the thing is, to repair the bicycle is a little more expensive than getting the license or the plate, because the parts over here for anything, for any appliance, the parts is extra expensive. And I say, okay, so I know, but on top of that, he wants us, the one who are using the bicycles, to do delivery from one store to another store, or from the store here to the house there. They want us to pay them 30% of the taxes for the delivery. So I was telling Carlos, what do you think about this? And this is exactly what we are, what socialism is all about, is taking money from you one way or another. They don't have the cars anymore. They don't have the motorcycles running anymore in the street. They have to look for taxes somewhere else.
They destroyed the economy, and this is the case for Washington to remove sanctions on Venezuela. That's the news now, that the Biden's administration is considering lift the sanctions against not Venezuela, against the people who the last 20 years they took all over the money. Yesterday, the Secretary General of the American States Organization said that the problem in Venezuela is that the government took almost $100 billion, and that is the equivalent of 10 Marshall Plans, and nothing happens in Venezuela because they rob everything. And I said, no, the problem is not that
oligarchy. The corruption.
The corruption. The problem is not the corruption. The problem is socialism. That's the problem. Because you can see that even to ride a bicycle, you have to get permission. That's ridiculous.
And taxes on what you're doing with the bicycle. So if you're doing some delivery or whatever, if some people take people in on the bicycle to provide transportation from this point to another point, they have to pay taxes for that too.
But that's sad, because by the 1990s, Venezuela, who was founder of the OPEC, had become the petroleum power, pumping almost 2 million barrels per day. This saw the Latin American country entitled as OPEC third largest producer, behind only Saudi Arabia and Iran. By 1998, when Hugo Chavez came to power, Venezuela was producing 3.1 million barrels of petroleum per day.
Mm-hmm.
But with the crisis, okay,
mm-hmm.
Venezuela last month produces 529,000
okay.
barrels. That's almost one-sixth that Venezuela used to produce. The sharp decline started in 2017, when for the first time in 20 years we produced less than 2 million barrels per day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and with the devaluation of the barrel of petroleum, the economic of Venezuela went bust. Okay, the internal gross domestic production is going down 17% in 2016, 15.7% in 2017, but beginning 2019,
mm-hmm.
the Venezuelan economy collapsed completely. Okay, contracting 35% in 2019 and 30% to 2020, and it's anticipated that the economy in Venezuela will sink another 10%. So if you add 17 plus 15 plus 35, the Venezuelan economy today,
mm-hmm.
is about 20% that used to be only 4 years ago. So that implies a very, very big problem, and that's one of the seeds of this problem that we are seeking now, where almost 6 million inhabitants of Venezuela just left the country. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's a tragedy that has deep roots on the socialism. We are in the same boat that the Cubans that left Cuba 30, 40 years ago in rafts. Okay, exactly. But instead to be in the high seas, mm-hmm. they walk
across the continent.
Across the continent. Okay. Surprisingly, Venezuela has the largest oil reserves in the world, mm-hmm. totaling about 304 billion barrels of crude oil. Mm-hmm. And even though Venezuela has those reserves, the people is suffering and they are in the same decline as countries such as Syria that has been in a war for the last 15 years. Okay.
Well, I know we are supposed to be talking about Venezuela today, you know, in our program, but did you hear what happened this morning in Iraq? An explosion close to the embassy, American embassy. An explosion. You see what started already? They start threatening America in those countries. Mm. That's what happened today in Iraq. Why? Because in September. Next one is August, right? Because in September they have to. Remember?
They are
pushing the situation. They are pushing and, you know, to. Like, okay, if you leave, you know, this is what's going to happen. So let's see what Biden is going to, Biden administration, because we know he's not doing anything. It's the Biden administration, what they're going to decide when it comes to Iraq now, because of that explosion. And it seems like it was an attack close to the American embassy. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, the disintegration of the oil industry in Venezuela has a very deep roots, not only in corruption, but also what the production of oil in Venezuela is right now, because Venezuela is producing around 500,000 barrels per day, but out of that, 40,000 barrels per day are going to Cuba without having any income for that. Venezuela is really a colony of the Cubans, mm-hmm. right now. Okay?
The little oil that they're producing, a big piece goes directly to Cuba.
Almost 10%.
The 10% of the production goes directly to Cuba.
But the problem right now is that the oil that Venezuela is producing right now is highly in sulfur, and the refineries in Cuba are not capable, mm-hmm. to refine that kind of oil.
Okay.
And do you know what's going on?
Why? In Cuba?
In Cuba.
Okay. What's that?
They produce so little fuel, uh-huh. from that oil that they are having a lot of shutdowns in electricity, because 80% of the electricity produced in Cuba came from engines, you know, from diesel plants. So that's what is going now in Cuba. That's why people in Cuba is going out of the streets, because sometimes they have only 2 hours of electricity in Cuba. So everything is
It's like a domino effect, right?
Yes, it's like a domino effect. So when you see the problems, it's concatenated. So that's the first thing. And Venezuela, as you know, produces the fuel that Cuba uses to produce electricity. But because of the fuel oil that Venezuela is producing, Cubans are not capable to refine that thing.
So that explains, Carlos, why Venezuelan reaction when they find out about Cuba, people being on the street, and 2 weeks ago, right? The Cuban on the street and asking for freedom and for food, for electricity. That explains why they are in the street. Because whatever is happening in Venezuela is reflected in Cuba too.
Yes. It's reflecting in whole Latin America. Uh-huh. Because there is another political problem. And the problem is that Venezuela is protecting a lot of guerrillas from Hezbollah to the ELN of Colombia, you know. Mm-hmm. In many regions of the Venezuelan country, the ELN is de facto government. So you have a foreign guerrilla.
Foreign.
That is the one that has the mandate in Venezuelan territory. Okay. Many remotes. So, what's the problem? That now Venezuela has not only the problem in the border with the guerrillas, but also has the problem in the cities. Do you know the Haiti, the right hand of the guy who took the Cota 905? Kiko. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She was captured 2 days ago.
The lady,
her name is the Haiti. Okay?
The Haiti.
The Haiti,
okay.
La
who
Perua.
Is she? Oh, the hairy.
The
hairy lady.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and she is a 22 years old girl that kills a lot of enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll be back after this message. Take it away, my friend.
Hello, my name is Rick White, and I'm the director of the Georgia Military Veterans Hall of Fame. I want to encourage all Georgia veterans to consider being nominated to the Georgia Military Veterans Hall of Fame. And if you are a Georgia veteran, and the definition of a Georgia veteran is either you were born in the state of Georgia, or you've lived here 10 years, or you were raised your right hand and joined the military in this state, you are considered a Georgia veteran. For further information, go to www.gmbhof.org, or you can contact me at 678-427-0915. We'd love to have your nomination for the Georgia Military Veterans Hall of Fame. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Okay.
We are back.
We're back.
Where is my music? Ping, 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 ping. Where is it?
I don't know. Let me look for it after the messages. Okay.
Brad is going to get it for us.
Okay.
Yeah, I miss it. I want to do the rim.
Okay. Maduro autocratic regime simply lacks the resource to provide a state presence, including basic public goods as well as infrastructure. That's what you said about what happens right now in Maracaibo.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what happened in other cities If that happens in the capital city of the production of oil, of the riches in Venezuela,
okay.
I don't want to know what happens in...
You don't
want
to know. You don't want to think about it.
I don't want to think about it. Yeah, what happens in the...
In the little towns.
In El Orza, in, you know, in the, that must be awful, you know?
Of course, of course.
Some sources estimate that Colombian guerrillas and new paramilitary groups, criminal gangs, and Venezuelan colectivos exert control in up to two-thirds, possibly more, of the OPEC members' national territory. So two-thirds of Venezuela right now are under the hands not of the government.
The two-thirds of the population?
Of the population.
Are under some other organization hands.
Yes.
Not Maduro. Maduro don't have no control.
No.
So when you say Maduro is like a figure, like a stability figure, that's all?
Right now.
Or he divides his power with these groups.
I think he divides the power with these groups.
Okay.
He's not confident with his own people.
Well, remember Fidel Castro used to do that, right?
No.
He didn't have no confidence in his people.
Yeah, but they have a different approach. But in this case, it's other people that they are not Venezuelans, the ones that have the control of the territory.
Are you talking about those criollos, like people, native people from Russia, from Iran,
from China, from Syria?
Yeah,
exactly.
Those native from Venezuela.
Those people with very very Creole last name, you know, and we can say that in another program. So. Venezuela is so desperate to increase the production because the price of oil is going up. Okay, right now it's around $70 per barrel. Okay, because of the awful policies of Joe Biden when he cut off the pipeline.
The pipeline.
Yes, he create a peak on the price of oil. So in some way, he's working for the great capital. You know, people like Halliburton, ExxonMobil.
You wanna be polite?
Yeah.
But you cannot help it.
Exactly. So, Venezuela is looking for ways to increase the production, but you have to understand that since Chavez expelled the people who really knows about the oil production in Venezuela, right now nobody really knows exactly what to do in the wells, okay? Venezuela state-owned company import a key component needed to achieve its goal of only tripling the crude production, defying the U.S. effort to isolate the Maduro regime's grip on power. The supertanker René is discharging a hydrocarbon known as a condensate at the Venezuelan port of Ose, according to a document seen by Bloomberg. It is the first such import since September, when Petróleo de Venezuela, S.A., took delivery of a cargo of Iranian condensate, which is needed to thin the country's extra thick grade of crude. The origin of the cargo aboard of René remains a mystery because the vessel's satellite transponder has been switched off. The Panamanian flag tanker must recent port of call was the Indian Ocean nation of Sri Lanka, according to the document. Venezuela wants to boost a production of 1.5 million barrels a day by the end of the year, which would be almost three times the current output of 529,000 barrels. The owners of the world's largest oil reserve has been struggling to raise production under the weight of sanctions, equipment breakdowns, and deaths of crucial chemicals and humanitarian crises that sparked a diaspora of 6 million people. Do you remember that about 2 weeks ago we were talking about the gas that you injected in the wells?
Yeah, the news were saying that the gas, hold on. The news were saying that the gas they were purchasing for Venezuela was supposed to be used for cooking and for families, and you know, for the cooking business of the family, you know?
Yes.
And then what did you find out today? Because you were saying it's not going to be used for that. It's going to be used for something else.
Yes.
Okay, what the news says this week?
Basically, that the second component that the Venezuela needs to extract the heavy oil that they have just arrived, so they thin the oil on the well with this component, and then inject gas into the well in order to create the pressure to raise that oil, because Venezuela light oil is almost over. Okay, so right now Venezuela is looking in the international market where how to increase the output that they had right now, but you know that goal of 1.5 million barrels per day are so far as the vaccination rate in the United States, you know, because it's almost impossible. Everything is broken in Venezuela. So in order to fix the wells, you need the machinery, very specialized machinery.
Okay.
And that very specialized machinery is also broke. So
by releasing, hold on. I understand that point of view. But by releasing those
chemicals.
No. By releasing, okay, you know, this Venezuelan from the opposition came to meet with the Biden administration to release those
sanctions
from these people.
Yeah.
Right? Are they trying to release those a little bit just because they want all these petroleum companies from other countries come to Venezuela and rebuild, not reconstruct, rebuild, like get rid of that old stuff, you know, like you do when you buy a house, right? You get basically a lot of people get rid of that little house and they build something better. Are they going to do something like that? Having Maduro as the dictator still, the stabilizer of the continent, of the South continent?
That's exactly what you mean. Well, we will talk about this and other
things. We're going to a break. Bye.
Yes, bye.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction, or give you guidance as to where that help may be found.
Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Okay, well, let's talk Venezuelan. And you
let's
said,
talk what's happening in Venezuela.
Yes, let's
I
talk
got another gossip before you get to the other news.
Tell me.
Okay, this is what's going on, David. You know, there is the Olympic out there somewhere people are playing, right? But there
in
is no...
Tokyo.
Ah, okay, Tokyo.
In Japan.
Olympic. So what happened yesterday, David and Carlos, is this guy from Venezuela, he was born in a hood, like we call it the barrio, el barrio. But in English, it's the same as the hood, you know, where a lot of poor people live. So he was born in this barrio. He grew up, and he was lifting weight. So yesterday, he got the silver medal by lifting weight in his category, right? You know, there is the skinny category, the medium category, and the full category.
And the heavy.
And the heavy, right? Okay, in his category, he got the silver. So as soon as he got into the podium, they sing the song, you know, the national anthem. The government in Venezuela, they put a big, like a billboard,
uh-huh,
where they were showing only the Venezuelans participating in the Olympic. Only were they, you know, the sports. There were 45. One of them is this guy. Mayorga, last name is Mayorga.
Okay.
Something like Mallorca, Mayorga.
Mayorga,
something like
yeah.
that. So the people where he was born, you know, his friend, they're seeing, they are, you know, they are excited because it's from the same, you know, this is our man, our child. Okay. So when he got out from the podium and all that, and people were like clapping in Venezuela through watching those images on the TV, immediately when he went down, he got a phone call. The phone call was from President Maduro, right? And President Maduro is, you know, giving him congratulations for, you know, for winning the silver, you know. You know, they're going to be using this sport, this achievement that this guy had. They're going to use it for political reason. That's the way the Cuba did it. With their sports people, you know,
and the Soviet Union. Do you remember how the Soviet Union uses to use the sports, the Olympic Games, and everything,
the gymnastic,
to say that the socialism was the maximum? You remember that exactly the
it's
same.
It's the same thing that is happening now in Venezuela. So he got the phone call, and guess what they did? They put it on the TV so everybody can watch the conversation and listen to the conversation between he talking on the phone to President Maduro. Of course, at the end, the guy, you need to understand something. This is nobody. This person is nobody. Having a phone call from a president is like me or you, David. If we get the phone call last year from President Trump.
Yeah, I'd take it from Trump. I wouldn't take it from Biden.
Yeah, exactly. From Biden, no. But I'm talking, let's say we are in the 2020 and we received the phone call from the president. You know, yeah. That means that you are an influencer. That you can change people's mind. Basically, that's what it is. So this guy, at the end of the conversation, he forgot to say thank you to the Lord or thank you to God. He forgot to say thank you to the person who raised him. I don't know if he got father or not. Could be his grandma or the aunt, because we don't know. In those barrios, anyone can raise you because the lack of parenthood, right? Parenthood. And he ended up saying, I dedicate this and I thank Mr. Hugo Chavez for allowing me. He's dead. He's dead. But you see right there, politicization of the whole achievement. That's the second gossiping that I'm here having for you today, guys. And it's going like a viral in Venezuela because it's dividing the people. Those people who are upset for what's going on. And they had their family divided and killed for this system. And then you got this guy.
Yeah, Venezuela had a long history since 1952 of Olympic medalists. Okay? So that's something.
But you need to understand that these people who are were born and grew up in 20 years of this system, that's the only thing they know. They don't know about what happened 50 years ago.
No.
They don't even get information what happened in their own history.
Do you know the name of the first Olympic medalist from Venezuela was Arnoldo de Bonich. Arnoldo de Bonich was Maria de Lourdes de Bonich, the singer, brother.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So, you said that with all this, Venezuela will look for other companies to invest in Venezuela. But surprise, surprise, Total and Equinor are exit Venezuela joint venture.
Uh-huh.
These companies are transferring stakes to a state-owned PDVSA. Total and Equinor have been major partners with PDVSA since the 90s. French oil company Total Energies and Norway's Equinor are exiting the key venture in Venezuela, adding to an exodus of foreign firms in recent years as the country's energy industry has withered.
Okay, that company Total is from what country?
French.
And the other, Equinor?
Norway.
Norway.
Yeah.
So they are already out of Venezuela.
They are giving up.
They're giving up already?
They are giving up already. Total and Equinor, which held 30% and 10% respectively, has been major partners with Venezuela since the 90s. The Petro Sedeño venture includes operations on the oil field of Orinoco Belt and heavy oil upgraded, a facility that blends heavy oil with more commercial grade. After the move, PDVSA will own 100% of the venture. Total was among the top four international producers of crude in Venezuela as recently as the early 2000s. With its output raking and the companies in 2007, according to PDVSA statistics, late President Hugo Chavez expropriated oil companies and changed contracts during the early 2000s. Total was one of the handful of foreign firms to keep operations in the country. Remember,
I have a question.
That the French are socialists, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You have a question.
My question is, I see that these two companies has a contract with Venezuela even before Hugo Chavez came in the 90s.
Yes.
So those contracts in that level, those contracts are, they're making like a 30 years, 40 years contract? Is that the kind of contract?
It's 10 to 20 years.
Okay, but it looks like it's 20 years now. And
but they were partners.
They were partners.
On Petro Sedeño, they have shares on that company. It's not just a contract, okay? And they gave up those shares, okay? Because what is going on, okay? So you see this news, you see what the use of the condensated, okay, and now these two companies are leaving. Politically, what they will do is to mix the oil, okay, and said, do you see now we achieve the goals? And it was only for the short term. Mm-hmm. In the long term, mm-hmm. they will finish to destroy mm-hmm. those facility in the Orinoco belts. Okay.
Are they leaving because the facilities are destroyed or because they are tired to deal with the government?
Both. Both.
Okay. All right. You. In other words, you tell me, shut up. Just. Thank you.
Okay. Even after the U.S. imposed sanction on Venezuelan oil industry, the Petro Sedeño venture continued to be one of the top producing oil fields in the country, even as total production slumped to levels last seen in the 40s. After refinery output drop in Venezuela causing fuel shortages, PDVSA this year decided to integrate some of the Petro Sedeño plants into PDVSA refineries, aiming to help boost gasoline production. Total and Equinor were not part of the decision leading to this integration. Mm-hmm. A Total representative in Venezuela declined to comment. Equinor did not respond to requests for comment, and PDVSA, as usual, declined to request for a comment. Mm-hmm. And That's what is going on right now in the main industry of Venezuela, mm-hmm. that is in shambles. Or also, you know, it's in shackles. It's very sad that we see right now an industry that used to be the number one of this country, that this country created almost the manual of how to deal with the markets in mm-hmm. the 40s. Mm-hmm. And now you see this. But this is consequences of policies that happens in the 70s. Okay? And we will talk about this after
the break.
And before we go to break, I want to mention that this Saturday on the Classic Car Show, we've got Bill Warner, who is very, very well known for Amelia Island, plus many other things. But he's going to be talking about what's going on in Cuba with the old cars. And it should be a very, very interesting show. I talked to Bill a few minutes ago, and he was saying, you know, they've cut him off from even calling Cuba. But he had gotten through a little bit, and, you know, it's a good question. Not intentionally, but Cuba has a bunch of old cars, and they've kept them going by baling wire and hope and faith and anything else, and trying to always go downhill. But that way you get the roll going and on, yes. and you don't have yes. to worry about going uphill. You just have to worry about the next downhill.
The Cubans, you know, the common people in Cuba, It's incredible, resourceful in that matter.
They put diesel engines in gas cars.
Yes,
and
they have to resolve the problem. They have a lot of creativity, imagination. They develop that. The problem with them is that they cannot market it. They cannot produce money out of their ideas. They cannot produce money out of their power.
Well, anything that they do, the government takes.
Exactly.
With that being said, we'll be back in a few minutes and talking about Venezuela.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
If you live to serve and want to make an even bigger difference, consider joining the U.S. Army. With training in fields like medical care, linguistics, and engineering, an Army career can amplify your efforts with humanitarian opportunities all over the world. Plus, you'll receive competitive pay and incredible benefits, so you'll be taken care of, too. Learn more at GoArmy.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Well, and we are back.
Yes,
we are back.
We are back.
Under this frame of economic turmoil in Venezuela, we have another problem.
What's Colombia, the other problem?
Colombia is asking United States to list Venezuela as terror sponsor.
Why? But
Colombia urged the United States on Monday to declare neighbor Venezuela a state sponsor of terrorism for allegedly children, dissident fighters, though to be behind the attack on President Iván Duque's helicopter last month.
That's right.
The situation merits a declaration on the part of the United States on Venezuela that as a state sponsor of terrorism, Duque said at an event at which U.S. Ambassador Philip Goldberg was present. Last week, Bogota said the attack was planned from Venezuela by dissidents who distanced themselves of the FARC's 2016 peace deal with the government and a former Colombian army officer. Duque's helicopter was approaching Cúcuta Airport on a flight from Sardinata on June 25th when several shots, apparently from rifles, were fired in. The president was flying with the defense minister Diego Molano, interior minister Daniel Palacios, and other officers. No one on board was injured, but photos released by the president's office showed the helicopter tail and the main blade has been hit. Molano later announced the arrest of some of the alleged perpetrators, adding it is clear that this attack against the president was planned from Venezuela. Duque has on numerous occasions accused Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro of harboring FARC dissidents and ELN fighters in his country, claimed Caracas denies. Last week, Molano charged that the Maduro regime continues to shelter terrorists from where attacks against Colombian institutions are planned.
But this is what I don't understand. If all of them are socialists, why are they attacking to each other?
No, the problem is that they are harboring the attacks. It's almost the same what happens in Lebanon during the 70s and 80s. That you have terrorist groups in the border planning against Israel's security. It's exactly what is going on right now in Venezuela. Remember, we said two-thirds of the Venezuela territory is not only under control of the Venezuelan government, mm-hmm. but because they allowed it, mm-hmm. they are a sponsor of those activities. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, what is the problem? United States has a list of terror sponsor countries, okay? Like Iran, North Korea, Syria, and since the last week of Donald Trump's presidential term, Cuba. Cuba returned into the list of terrorist sponsors countries. Venezuela answers. On Monday, Duque warned his government would completely dismantle the FARC dissident movement alleged behind the attack on him and early on a military that just injured 44 soldiers. We are going
those
to
soldiers, if I'm not mistaken, most of them were Americans.
Yes. We are going to break it, and the Colombian nation will become firm against any form of terrorism, said the president. Colombia has seen a recent spike in violence driven by FARC dissidents battling over disputed drug trafficking routes with paramilitary groups and the ELN, Colombian last active guerrilla group.
The guerrilla?
Yes. Don't be so cynical. Venezuela's foreign minister Jorge Arriaza reacted to Duque's statement on Twitter. Because now the diplomacy is through Twitter, and it's not between each minister. And do you know why? Because Venezuela does not have real relations, diplomatic relations with Colombia since 2019. You are in charge of a government that exports drugs and violence, said Arriaza, a factory of terrorism power that has liquidated the option of internal peace and sends mercenaries to generate violence and assassinate presidents in the region. Because now they are telling that the in the magnicide of President of Haiti, Duque has something to do with that, because mm-hmm. because the people who killed President mm-hmm. What's the name of
Moses
mm-hmm. Were from Colombia. Okay. Mm-hmm. Colombia and Venezuela have not had diplomatic ties since 2018, when Colombia joined the United States and other country in rejecting President Nicolas Maduro's dispute re-election, recognizing opposition leader Juan Guaido is dead. The neighbors share a border of 2,200 kilometers. That's about 1,370 miles. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke Monday to Colombian Vice President Marta Lucia Ramirez. On the call, he emphasized the importance of defending and advancing democracy in the region.
Democracy?
Yeah. Particularly in Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela, and Cuba, according to the department spokesman Ned Price. End of the note. Well,
we have 5 more minutes to go. Three more minutes.
Yes.
Before David closes.
So
Venezuela is in trouble.
In economic trouble, and political problems, and security problems, but Maduro is still in power.
Yeah, he's still in power.
And unfortunately, during this week. I think he will remain during this week. I don't know what happened next week.
Well, you know, I don't know if you heard on Twitter. I got a video from President the usurper Biden. Giving a little speech, and he was calling his mom from the audience. And people start making fun of him because his mother passed away 10 years ago.
In 2010, yeah.
Exactly.
I remember.
Uh-huh. So it's like, 10, 11 years ago, right?
Yes.
Okay, but he was calling his mom from the audience. And a lot of people were making fun about him because he's, you know, losing it, like... They used to do the same thing with Chavez.
Yes.
They used to do the same thing, and they're doing it with Maduro. But they're still in power.
Yeah.
It's a distraction. They do it in purpose for distraction.
Well, and now I want the people who is right now hearing this program to go to americaswebradio.com and patronize any of the programs that we have in this station. David.
Yes.
What are the plans with the patronage? We have something to say about this station and how this station survived?
Anybody can go to our homepage and sign up to be a patron, which we would certainly appreciate. And, any dollar amount would be greatly appreciated, and it helps keep great shows on. With that being said, we're going to have to bail out of here shortly.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we're going to be doing the Spanish program in the next hour.
Yes.
Hablemos Venezolano, and we're going to be sharing the same news that we did just now in English. We're going to do it in Castellano, which is the name of our language, but we call it Spanish here in America. So, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, David.
So, with that being said, we're out of here.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.